everyone. Welcome back to another great edition, as always, to Talking Takes. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me tonight, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Got a good one for you. LSU baseball had a great weekend in Houston. I would say southwest and southeast Louisiana. They took over all of Houston this weekend. Some other teams were there as well, but I think the Louisiana teams really showed out, LSU especially. Playing on game number four right now as we record, but have three wins, working on four. Men's basketball and women's basketball also had a good week. We got some info there for you folks. But all in all, good week for the Purple and Gold. Glad to be with you guys, of course. Hope you had a good weekend. I did, and excited to be back to discuss it all with you.
Yeah, good to be with you. Good week of baseball. Watched a bunch of the games. Got the Texas State game on as we speak. So top of the seventh, LSU's up 8-3. And good week for us, and good to be talking with you about it.
Right, you can't complain about going. I guess it's about to be 8-0 across the major men's and women's sports this week. So LSU kind of running the table top to bottom, and then they even had the NFL Combine when a few of the Tigers had some nice performances there as well. So boosting their draft stock going into the draft next month, I guess. Plenty of fun there on the diamond and the court. And, we'll break it down.
That's right. And some didn't have a great performance, but it was by choice. Like Jaden Daniels holding off until LSU Pro Day. They can. That's the funny thing about the draft is they can make so many simple things seem so silly, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, he didn't throw. Is there an injury covering up? No, he's waiting for LSU Pro Day, right? In this, the draft covering in general, it's just silly. Sometimes.
Malik isn't doing anything at the combine either, right?
No, he didn't exercise. And the combine's got a little bit weird because you can kind of spin anything in just about any direction you want. It's like, oh, he didn't have a great day. He's falling down the draft board. Or, oh, he opted out. Maybe this is bad. He's got an injury, whatever. Or he's working on, he's going to impress people at the pro day, blah, blah, blah. But so hopefully they do have a good time at LSU's pro day, but it's always fun because you get the first glimpse of these guys who's the hope of NFL futures across the country. And Jaden Daniels is obviously in the conversation for a top five pick, and I'd say Malik Nabers in the top 10 to 15 as well. So it'll be fun to see some Tigers names called early on day one.
I saw a thing earlier this week that Jaden's draft stock has steadily increased as the season ended, like with the season over, that NFL teams, because I mean, like, obviously he won the Heisman, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the nation, but I would not have put him as the, I mean, I've seen some people saying, oh, he's going to be the first quarterback off the board. Have you seen some of that too?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he said, oh, could he battle for a top pick or the top pick? I'm like, I don't know about that, but maybe.
Yeah.
Right, because I think the consensus is that Caleb Williams from USC is the number one, like 1-1, and then after that, it's kind of anybody's game for the second quarterback between Jaden Daniels and then Drake May from North Carolina and then a few others. There's been some smoke, people trying to push J.J. McCarthy up the board from Michigan based on his winning ability, but I don't know if he quite has the arm. And
I've seen Drake May's stock really falling.
Mm-hmm. And Jaden Daniels can do some special things. He's not the prototypical NFL quarterback with his athleticism and shifty feet and ability to make plays, but that's what makes him an intriguing prospect as well, because he can be so explosive. And so it'll be cool to see who takes a chance on him, and hopefully his skills will translate to the next level. Didn't really mean to drag this into an NFL draft pod, but
yeah. Too late. I guess it's we're the post-draft pod. We'll do Talking Takes next week. Just kidding. But all this talk makes it – what else is silly is that none of it could really matter, right? We just saw a Super Bowl where the last man out, Mr. Irrelevant, brought his team to the Super Bowl, had a darn good chance to win it. I wouldn't say that you could blame Brock Purdy, but, the guy, if you're taking first or last, maybe it doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah.
In today's – what does matter is wins. And LSU baseball has a lot of them. We only have one loss on the season, actually. But we working on a clean sweep here at the Minute Maid. what is it? I forget what it's called, the Minute Maid Challenge or whatever, but it's at Minute Maid Park, but the Houston Classic, something like that.
Astros Foundation College Classic.
Thank you. Astros Foundation College Classic, which, by the way, kudos to them. They did make ample attempt to make sure that anybody could watch it, giving us several different options. I watched the Astros YouTube channel.
Yes.
I think that's what you guys probably ended up watching too, right? But it made it very convenient. Shout out to them. Many kudos. And I hope it was very beneficial for the foundation itself. But we saw a lot of good baseball, a lot of good pitching duels too, right? Like,
yeah,
all LSU games.
I do want to touch on this. Scott, you mentioned the ease of watch. This was not how it was last year. Last year you had to like pay, I think. Like I remember not being able to watch our games last year because it was like you had to buy some package or it wasn't on streaming services. So yes, having it on YouTube, I was trying to watch it on astros.com. It wouldn't work. And then y'all tipped me off to the YouTube. It's been stellar. So thanks to the Astros for doing this. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the pitching has been very, very good throughout this this little classic, as they call it. So good thing for us. We got Holman pitching well.
Lights out.
And then
lights out.
Jump looked good.
Got a no-hitter going until that little bloop single on the infield.
And that wasn't even his fault.
No, exactly.
And then on the one last thing on the stream and stuff like that, you obviously saw the influence of LSU fans at the stadium. The park was pretty full, especially for a college game across all three games, the Texas and the UL ones in particular, being pretty much the whole first level stuff. They're saying like 20,000 attendance, which is a heck of a lot for a college baseball game that's not the World Series. But you could definitely tell the LSU juice on YouTube as well, like in the stream numbers. Like right now in the game against Texas State, there's 36,000 people watching, which I would say, again, is pretty good for a college baseball game. And then I think against Texas, it peaked like over 50,000 watching. So the Tiger faithful, they'd like to kick back, relax, and enjoy their baseball. Much less than anybody else in the country. So if they show up.
If you look at the if you look at the chat, it's all like LSU people, like all like LSU logos, LSU baseball logos, and people like talking about it, which is kind of cool. I mean, I guess it is they're playing Texas State. So if you're watching this game, you're watching for LSU, I would think. hey, Texas State took down Texas. So that was a good win for them.
And did you see the way they do it? Like, it was just dramatic.
Walk off pretty much, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Great, great thing. And it was so great to see how the players reacted, because we were talking about it kind of being a pitcher's duel, but you could tell some of the LSU guys just like, we can do this, we can bust this wide open, we're just getting hung up. And then when you saw Tommy White hit his home run to put LSU up over Texas, then like when he how pumped he was when he crossed the plate, and then right after that, Jared Jones, I mean, they were just finally, you could see it on their faces just because the pitching was so good. You just knew these guys were going to break out. I guess they knew they were going to break out. But you mentioned Holman, man. He's he's got like almost 20 strikeouts, only one walk, zero run. I mean, the guy's incredible. That's why I said Hurd started, I know, but Holman's probably our guy.
Seems like it. Yeah.
I don't know if I would go so far as to call him like Skeens 2, but maybe Skeens 1.1.
Maybe he's Skeens like, half Skeens. Yeah. He's just Ski.
And then there was some discussion like if Holman continues his tear and goes on to be another top pick, then LSU will basically once again have their pick in the transfer portal next year, like the number one pitcher available, because they've seen what we can do with two guys in back-to-back years, really just elevating to the next level. So Jay Johnson's really got the machine rolling there. And the hitting this weekend wasn't dominant. Against Rice in the midweek game, they put up 16 runs. That was just a dog walk. On the weekend, there was a few homers. It was fun. Tommy White launched one way into like the Phillips 66 gas pump, like in the third deck of the outfield. So that was a Tommy tank. And then Jared Jones had some nice hits as well. But there's not really too big of a weak spot in our batting lineup, which we've mentioned before. So they can't really walk over one portion to get to the next, which plays to LSU's advantage, and they can come alive from anywhere. And they're also very good at, like against Texas in the first game, they had their pitcher was throwing well, throwing fast at the beginning, but we kept working these like 3-2 counts, fouling the ball off. And even though we weren't scoring a whole bunch of runs, we worked up his pitch count really high. So they had to pull him like in the fourth or the fifth inning, I think, even though his stuff wasn't too bad. And then that really allowed us to stretch out the lead. So good discipline at the plate. And
that was it was LaBanna man, right?
Or yeah, they called him LBJ, like yeah. Junior. and so yeah, he was a good pitcher, but
he was.
Yeah, that was a fun duel with Holman for a while there.
Yeah, but the guy that we played against Texas, he was their pitcher last year. Remember that 3-0 game that it was a pitcher's duel until Gavin Dugas hit a home run in the eighth. Mm-hmm. It was the same pitcher, so they're like they thought the guy might, you know, enter the draft. He didn't. Still just as good. But he's one of the best pitchers in the country, and we, you know, we got the win. We knocked him out of the game. It took a minute to get going, but it was actually – it was Braswell, right? Like he was not – like you said, you know, it wasn't stellar. He personally wasn't stellar. He already had a home run, but, like, he had a good hit. He had some good at-bats. He, like – the thing with the guy from Texas, I think it was Johnson, was just he was up to like 30 pitches by the second inning. So they just went through batters, and Braswell had like a 9-10 pitch at bat. And mm-hmm. It was right after that when they started to break it open. So he did really well. Braswell, I like him, man. He's good defensively. Obviously, I think the hitting was the issue. Not issue, but like a if you was to say like
his weaker spot, his weak spot.
Right. But he's coming along.
Yeah, no, I like him too. I like Milam a lot too. I know I mentioned him, I think last podcast, but he's had another good showing this
animal.
Yeah,
for a true freshman, he's a little short. He draws a lot of walks, and he's fast on the base pass too.
In Houston, he's a little Altuve for us.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so he's still got 3 full years at LSU, and it'll be fun to watch. Anything else from this weekend? Any takes?
It's good. Tigers hit home runs in the ballpark. I think that's probably one of the reasons Tommy and Jared were so pumped. It's not only because they could get a win against Texas, but I mean, if you're looking into the draft, man, hitting a home run in a major league park, that's got to feel good.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think the other thing that, to me, and maybe it's just like, maybe I'm just getting a little too excited, but like this team feels like we've kind of after this national championship, we've reached like a new level where we're just kind of just plug and play. Like, you know, it's not the same faces. Obviously Tommy White's a superstar, and you know, Jared Jones is a guy, a returning guy from last year. Pearson's a returning guy from last year. So we have like, it's not a whole new team, but it seems like Jay Johnson has been able to, he's finally, after winning that national championship and like putting together the squads that it took to get to that point. Now he is, he's been able to develop like our program into look like we're going to have, we have depth in the back. And, you know, like a Paxton Kling is like a guy who like, I think I mentioned him last week too, but like, you know, not somebody, he's not Dylan Cruz. He's not somebody that, at least not, I was hyped up about when he was a true freshman, but it feels like, you know, he's been able to slide in, and there are a lot of players who've just been able to slide in where they're needed, like a Milam, and really put up a lot of numbers and you know, keep this train rolling.
Yeah, and they got one more week to tune up before SEC play with a home series against Xavier University, who I looked up and they're 6-5, so an okay team, but not amazing. So it'll be good to be back at the box for that one, and then we're on to the grueling SEC play where we find out just how good the depth is, especially like relief pitching and all that. Yeah. Against the stiffer competition, because I think like 6 out of the top 10 teams right now in the country are from the SEC, as it is year in and year out, LSU being one of them. And so long season ahead, but promising start so far.
Right. And LSU had that big win against Rice, beat Texas 6-3, the Cajuns 5-4, and of course we got the other game going on now. Great week all around. And as far as basketball, good week all around for men and women. Both actually took care of Georgia. Men at home, women on the road, I believe. And LSU had a good road win against Vanderbilt. You mentioned it earlier. I mean, we can close out the season with a sweep, do well in the tournament, whatever that means based on who we're playing. But I'd say Tigers are at least finishing strong, right? Even if we didn't make it in the bubble, you at least like the way the team looks heading into the offseason, even if it, even if they know, you know, like maybe 50%. Yeah, we're probably not going to the tournament, but it's like they at least they're not giving up. You know, it's not like a clunker of the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they had that stretch in the middle of the SEC schedule where we were, I think it was 1-6 from Texas A&M on, this was like mid-January through mid-February, where we couldn't buy a win. But yeah, the basketball Tigers have turned it around, and we've won 4 out of the last 5, 3 of those being by 1 point. So maybe that's, you call that kind of fluky, but the cardiac Tigers are able to close it out, including the one against Georgia in the Wednesday game this week, and then a stronger performance against Vanderbilt, who's kind of bottom of the SEC, but at least they're beating the teams they're supposed to. And even if we, I mean, we probably won't make the tournament, 99% likelihood. There's a decent chance we get an NIT bid, which is okay. You're not jumping for joy about that, but it's definitely improvement from last year when we had 2 SEC wins. And I do have to give Matt McMahon credit for just not giving up on the season. When we had 2 SEC wins last year and we're 8-8 this year with 2 very winnable games in the last week at Arkansas and then to close out at home versus Missouri. So able to finish positive, and that does build some, if not hype, a little bit of just goodwill for next year. We're like, this isn't a completely lost cause, I guess. And there's been some development, because if he had laid up another stinker that seemed kind of like is what was happening early on in the season, then people were ready to move on and go forward with that. But I think he's bought himself enough positive press to at least make it one more year and continue his process of turning the Tigers into some good McMahon.
Yeah, I agree. I think the McMahon have really had a good stretch towards the end of this season. And now the thing about it is, and I think Daniel, you mentioned this, is like they were really bad last year. Mm-hmm. So this really is a huge like improvement. If we close out the season with 2 more wins, like how many more wins would that be?
That'd be +8 in SEC plus eight, play.
Because we had 4 wins last year, right?
I think it was only 2. I think it was less.
Oh, it was 2? Oh, okay. Yeah. So I mean, like, yeah, this, you know, maybe we are, and I feel like I've been like the most anti Matt McMahon person on this podcast, but like maybe he's turning it around. Maybe he has got something going on. Be interested to see, you know, what he does with the portal, you know, in recruiting, but it's good to see him. I mean, I watched that Georgia game. That was a fun one to watch. I listened to it on the radio and watched it, so it kind of went back and forth. But you're right, Daniel, about these cardiac Tigers. Like the inbound play that you know, like the last play, it was like an inbound play that like Georgia had, and it took forever to like get it to end.
Mm-hmm. The last minute of the game took like 10 minutes in real life.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia had ample opportunity. They just couldn't do it. And then Tigers just got a rebound, you know, that's been an issue before, but we got that one rebound and saved the game.
Now I will say though, like LSU did get kind of hosed on like 2 calls right at the end, like back to back.
What happened?
They kept a little bit, but like even ESPN kept showing it. It was like, on a free throw. Oh, there was one where like the ball went out of bounds and it was like clearly off, or it wasn't clearly, but like on review and everything, like if you were watching the TV, like it was off on Georgia and they gave it to him. And then there was another one where they gave a foul to one of LSU's guys kind of at the baseline. And I think it should have been maybe an off. Oh no, it was a travel. they gave a so Georgia like traveled and wasn't called, and then they go up for a shot and get fouled, and then they sink like the free throw. So like people were like, oh, like this, like, and the ESPN kept showing the travel, like, yeah, this should have just been a turnover. This play shouldn't have even happened. Did you remember that, Daniel? Did you see that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, but they got the win, yeah. So that's what counts. But maybe it shouldn't have been as close as it ended up being.
Right. And of course, the women doing their thing. They beat Georgia by a lot more. 80-54, actually, in Athens. Now, the Tigers have a chance to be no less than second in the league for the third straight year, I believe, which is pretty remarkable, even for Kim Mulkey. It's, I don't know if we've had that in the SEC standing. So a lot on the line there. As you said, they start their tournament earlier. So we will see where they end up going before the men, whether it's NIT or whatever. But
yeah, I've got the women's SEC tournament schedule pulled up. So they finished as the number two seed after South Carolina, who finished up their second straight undefeated year, which is kind of wild. But yeah, LSU at number two is going to be playing on Friday, March 8th. Against the winner of Auburn and Arkansas. Auburn is a team that did beat us in the regular season, so maybe a little bit of danger there. So those are the 7 and the 10 seeds, and we're number 2. So we get the double bye, being in the top 4, which is good. But yeah, and then if we win that, then it's straight Friday, Saturday, Sunday to wrap it out. So Sunday the 10th is the championship game. So good luck to the LSU Tigers there, and it sets up a potential rematch against South Carolina in the championship game if we do make it that far.
Don't all roads kind of lead to South Carolina?
Pretty much. I think we kind of just got lucky last year that Iowa took them out for us, and then we were able to handle Iowa because that was their only loss in the tournament, and it could be a similar situation this year. Speaking of Iowa,
they had their eye on us. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They couldn't see us. for those listening, because this is an audio podcast, I did the John Cena / Caitlin Clark / Angel Reese.
Hand in front of the face.
Hand shaking thing.
Yeah, I remember Dwayne Bowe was doing that way back in the day. That was.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was long. Yeah. But yeah, you can't see me right after you get the touchdown. Boop, boop.
Who, no. Just a little aside on like, this is kind of LSU news. Has Caitlin Clark broke the record yet, or is she? I know she's like last time
she did it,
I saw.
She did it today.
She did it today. Okay, yeah. She scored, I knew she was there.
She scored 30. So all the social media are putting out tons of graphics of like Pete Maravich like shaking hands with Caitlin Clark. I'm like, kind of overlay. It's like, all right, I don't know about all this. It's kind of comparing apples to oranges at this point. But I guess congratulations to her. A different era, different game. Men's and women's, no 3-point line. I mean. Yeah, congrats to her for scoring, but it's not like she's necessarily better than Pete Maravich, I would say.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about it. Like, about the 3-point line. Like, how many points would he have with the 3-point line?
And Pete Maravich only played 3 years because freshmen weren't allowed to play when he played. So Caitlin Clark had 4 years. Pete Maravich only had 3.
Dang. Yep. Well, yep. He was kind of, I mean, I've, to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of Pete Maravich film, but, he was kind of a shooter, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
I think he was kind of known for being a ball hog a little bit.
Really?
Putting up shot after shot. His dad was the coach, right? And
yeah.
Press Maravich, so I guess he gave his son the green light. And I mean, if he scores 40 a game, then that's what you do. But
he just
you
called look at his, ISO.
But if you look at his stats, it's like he was like 25 of 53 for the game.
Hey, that in today's like NBA, that's like tracker. Normal for like your for a two guard,
the proto James Harden.
Yeah, exactly. Man, where's James Harden these days?
Who knows? Who was he? Gosh, who was he with last? Just
so he was it Houston?
He played for
the Clippers,
and then the not Celtics, the Nets, and then he was on the 76ers, I think.
Yeah, 76ers. That's what I'm thinking of. But I mean. Mulkey doing her thing. Now there was talk of being some upgrades to the PMAC. Mulkey said, "Yeah, that's all great and fine, but Yeah, I don't know when that's going to be. Like, it's, we need it now, but no, I mean, point, but I mean, if they are finally coming around, that's great. But, I don't know. Have you seen anything?
It's interesting you bring that up. I have not seen anything at the Maravich Center just because, well, I would imagine that if they're going to do anything, they wouldn't do it during the season. Right. But anyways, but you know what I did see today, which I was like very, I was like, kind of like, oh, wow. Okay. You know, they are building a brand new Jumbotron at Tiger Stadium.
I heard about
and
that.
It's going up right now. So like I drove by this morning and this afternoon driving home and was watching, like, the crew is there. The thing looks massive. I think it's going to be like double the size of like what the old one used to be like. It's much wider. It's like taking up a like much larger footprint of like the rim and like the sure.
They're trying to rival what Auburn has, probably, right?
Is Auburn, I've never seen Auburn's in person.
Yeah, they had a
Auburn
big upgrade.
They have the largest, I think. Okay.
A lot of LSU students were upset about that because they're doing the construction. They've stripped off the paint because you come out, they do the graduations inside the Pete Maravich Center, and you come out kind of on the outside concourse, and then you take your graduation picture facing Tiger Stadium, and you got the giant like LSU purple with the yellow letters on the back of the scoreboard.
Exactly.
And so they stripped all that off, so they're thinking it's not going to be ready in time for the graduations for the spring. So like the iconic picture will not be available. So somebody's going to have to get their Photoshop skills going. But yeah, hopefully bigger is better, and we'll see if they're ready in time for this football season. But I guess they're getting butts in seats and modernizing. There's sure a few more steps they could take to modernize the rest of Tiger Stadium. So hopefully that continues.
They, right. I mean, they're going to have it ready. Like you can't, they can't have a, we can't be like Vanderbilt and have a half ready stadium for football season.
Yeah. Construction manager probably got a talking to on that one.
Right. I just loved it. There's like the PMAX was literally leaking during games like the last year or two. And then, they're like, well, when are we going to get something done about it? Hold on, you know, we got it. We got to update our Videotron in Tiger Stadium. Okay, we're up to our eyeballs in megapixels. Just give us a second, then we'll get to you. And that's finally what's happening. But yeah, I saw the thing about Tiger Stadium. I think that's great. But you mentioned it'll be ready for football season. Now, getting ready for football season. Speaking of you. The NFL Combine was this week. A lot of Tigers showing out, particularly like you said, Brian Thomas Jr. had a very good, very fast 40-yard dash time, 4.34. Jordan Jefferson would put up the most, I believe, in the bench press competition. He had like 34, and other guys showed out. Some didn't, but that was by choice. They're just going to wait to Tiger Pro Day, which – honestly, with some of the schools across the country, that's as good or better than the combine, right?
Yeah, and you get to be comfortable. You get to be in your own place. I know that something that has been said is that the and I don't know if it's true or not, that when you do your when you work out at your pro day as opposed to the combine, you typically have like I think people doing the
stopwatcher.
The stopwatch, yeah, and so it's not as so they might give you a little help, a little home cooking on your speed. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that like you know like at the combine it's like laser guided stopwatch or something, so it gets it to like you know be perfect. It's kind of like the Olympics or something like that. But I got
some foam filling the 45-pound plates on the bench press. You did 100 reps.
Maybe so. That'd be funny. I know that. And then also, isn't it? I know definitely quarterbacks like to, you know, there was talk about how Jaden didn't throw at the combine, but quarterbacks like to throw at their pro day because they get to throw to receivers they know. Whereas I think at the combine, you're just throwing to like whoever's there.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Mm-hmm. I always like seeing the footage of LSU pro day. I'd like to be able to go. They don't let like anybody, you know, I don't think you can just show up and be like, I'd like to be there. But,
it could though, right? Like, is that any different than the spring game? I mean, it's just spectators. I mean, why not? Unless there's some clause about it.
I mean, I don't think there's a law. I just don't think they'll let you in. Because I think they do it at Football Ops.
Right. No, they do. Yeah. It's indoors, just in case, maybe, or just for the privacy.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe I'll just show up. Be like, hi, I'm here.
I'm ready to run a 40. We're going to have a Talking Tigs pro day and do our own measurable.
We should. Would have, could have, should have. But yeah, anything else on the pro day that, or excuse me, the comp, we're already talking about pro day. Combine. Anything else on the combine that stood out?
Man, Xavier Worthy from Texas. Did you see his 40? Wasn't it like a 4.21?
Yeah, 4.21, the fastest time ever. He broke Chris Johnson's record and John Ross, I think. Wide receiver from Texas. So he made himself a few bucks that day. And Brian Thomas was second to him at a 4.33. So that shows the gap between first and second.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy though, because it's like, I mean, obviously he was a great receiver for Texas, but not like he, I don't remember him being absolutely dominant. You know what I mean? So interesting, but that's an impressive number. You get that guy in space. You see him maybe being like the next Tyreek Hill or something like that.
Yeah, if he was getting drafted in 2011, he would be like a Raiders first round pick, like lock. They would always draft like the super fast guy and then just turn out to be a bust.
Even in 2019, like Henry Ruggs, he was one of the fastest players for, mm-hmm. for Bama. And then he was really fast in a car too.
Sad. Yep. But yeah, I think that was it on the combine. LSU's pro day, I think, is March 27th, so they still got a few more weeks to prepare there, but we'll have any interesting results when that rolls around.
Yeah, so I've got a couple weeks to throw a little bit, get my arm stretched out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are there any open tryouts this spring?
I'd have to re-enroll in school, but I'm sure there are.
You've got plenty of eligibility. You just need to be eligible.
Yeah, I know. I've got the eligibility. Okay. I
go back for your doctorate in something.
I need to go get my PhD and also play football. That'd be kind of cool.
Sure. Probably less hours.
Anyway, I wonder just what
less class hours, but a lot of reading and writing.
There's bound to have been somebody who got a PhD while playing football, right?
There was a one guy on the Kansas City Chiefs who was like a medical doctor, and he wanted like to have them put MD at the end of his his last name, and then the NFL wouldn't do it. And he kind of like had a rage about that, and I think he ended up like not playing because of COVID, and he was like saving lives. But
Totally right. I forgot about that. Yeah, like he quit to go be a doctor or something.
And then I think after that, he like didn't really get another shot in the league.
I think it's like one of those things where it's like, look, if you only get your one shot, like, sorry, we don't care that you want to go be a doctor. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, I remember there was a guy who played basketball for Duke, Christian something.
Later.
No, not it's like Paulus or
Greg Paulus.
Oh, it was Greg Paulus. Yes. He went on to play. He like graduated from Duke and then got an offer to play quarterback for Syracuse and went to go play quarterback for Syracuse. And I think he was like getting his like master's or something in order to like stay eligible. But I don't know of a PhD candidate for maybe that's a sign that I need to do it.
It's a new story waiting to happen.
Absolutely. I'd have to start running now in order to be able to be like somewhat in shape for like the 2026 tryout.
There's still time, but yeah, I think that was it. Any other big stories this week?
Not really. I mean, LSU had a football hire. I don't know how big it is. I guess you could say Brian Kelly's taking the Ed Orgeron approach, just hiring anybody and everybody. Maybe that's just football now in general, but you know, they hired an offensive analyst, Todd Fitch, over from Ohio State, which, sure, great. The more the merrier. So it means winning. He did work with Joe Sloan at La Tech, but other than that, I think the rest is no news is good news. I mean, we haven't had a running back been involved with any arrests, anything like
no arrests. Yeah, well, no. Actually, we kind of did have a running back involved in arrests earlier.
Well, I mean, since then.
Oh, since then, yes, you're right. And maybe his innocence will be proved. We'll give you that Trey Holly update, maybe next week.
Right. But either way, we'll have plenty for you folks here on Talking Tigs, as we all do. Any final words?
No, hopefully this week we'll have just as many wins as the last one. And if so, then Tigerland will stay happy.
Yep. Looks like LSU's about to close out this this Texas State game. So go Tigers. And I'm ready to watch some more sports this week.
Amen. Yeah. And I did want to give a shout out to the Tiger fans, because we travel well in person, online, YouTube streaming, all that. We travel well. That's why it's a good brand. I mean, we're Tommy said it earlier. It's like we're had a lot of good wins as a athletic department. A lot of programs are doing well. Women's softball has been undefeated. Women's basketball, top 10 program. Men's basketball doing their thing. LSU baseball, top rated. All that. It's amazing. And I saw a stat where there was Jay Clark from the gymnastics program. He, like, since he joined them in 2012, attendance has gone up like 230-something%. So it's just crazy to see how many things are hitting, but, you know, just in places we've never seen before. So kudos to the Purple and Gold as a program. I know the announcers kept saying during the games, more than one, you know, because I think during the Texas and the Cajuns, it was they're going to set a single event record this weekend, you know, other than Astros games. So this was going to be the record for like a single event. It was going to be over like 55,000, maybe even 60,000, depending on how many were there today. But each of the games, it was 75% LSU fans, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. That says something, I think. That's why we do all these, you know, kickoff games in NRG Stadium. We're going to be in Vegas this fall. It's just, doesn't matter where we play. We just like to have a good time. Where else can we do it? You know?
Yeah. Speaking of that game in Vegas, that's one. Daniel, have you made your decision yet?
No, not yet. Still trying to figure out the situation about the season ticket holders getting like an allotment for the game. I think that's supposed to happen in April. So
in April. Okay. That. Well, I want to like, when you make your decision, let me know. Cause I might want to get involved.
Sounds good.
There you go. So if you're a season ticket holder, you get an allotment for the game.
I'm not quite sure. Well, I have some connections to people with season tickets, and I think that would come at a severely discounted rate, maybe not severely, but a discounted rate, because right now on secondary, they're going for like $600 for like top level tickets,
which is
pretty expensive. So
maybe I don't want to get involved.
It plays a factor.
Right. We shall see. Speaking of, I don't know. My mom had sent me like a little Mardi Gras package. I'm just still working on stuff. She did send me some crackling. I mean, she is in Lafayette, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it is, and it's good. It's definitely different than the, you know, the baguettes you can buy in a convenience store. But I'm looking at the price of it. I'm just wondering if this is typical, or if you know, it's just like everything else that's up. It was $22.99 a pound. So, and this was like a little over half a pound. So it was like $13. So
for cracklins?
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, this was at a Blode's grocery in Broussard, you know. Small town. I'm just curious, because that seems expensive for crackling.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know by pound, because normally, like, if I do buy, I'm not a huge cracklings guy. Although there was a my boss's friend, like, they think is from Lafayette, like, loves cracklings. So for his birthday, they rented a party bus and then drove around Southwest Louisiana or South Louisiana, going from like crackling spot to crackling spot. It was like kind of cool. Like, I mean, I didn't go, but sure. It sounded cool. And they had, you know, drinks in the bus and everything, but it was a crackling tour. I think they made like 8 stops. I don't know what the ones I see at like Rouse's, are just kind of like, it's like a bag of chips, you know, it'd be like maybe $4 or something, but I don't know. Maybe, right. maybe I think there probably is a difference between like buying them in a package and then buying them from like the grocery store, or the little convenience store where they make them there.
Probably. And I think that's what it's like. It comes in a brown bag, you know, that brown bag.
Yeah.
Soaked. It's, I mean, it's delicious, but yeah, it's very expensive.
You know what? No carb. That's how I got into them. I was doing keto and I was,
you know, I was going to say keto friendly.
Very friendly. Yeah, totally keto friendly. They got great flavors. You can get different flavors. I mean, basically it's a chip. Like you eat them like chips. Like they've got a nice little protein amount, and they'll, if you got that salty craving, they'll like satisfy that, and zero carbs.
There you go. You know, we could probably make this a whole spin-off pod. You know, just Tig's dishing on dishes.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep that in mind. We'll see what our audience wants. But anyway, that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We'll have a lot more baseball and basketball scores for you and anything else. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and have a great week. We'll talk to you next time on Talking Tigs.